通り。
Isaiah chapter 40. 40th chapter of Isaiah. Our study tonight is on the omnipotence of God or the power of God. And there are so many scriptures that we could have went to and took a text, but I wanted to look at Isaiah chapter 40. And let's begin here reading in verse 25. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 25. The power of God. And we're going to have to look at this in two lessons. We'll look at this one tonight, and then we'll look at it, the Lord's willing, next week again. Because I want to look at it tonight in just some general statements made in these passages. Then maybe next week we'll get more particular into the power of God. But let's read it here in verse 25 of Isaiah chapter 40. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who has created these things, that brings out their hosts by number? He calls them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one fails. Why saith thou, O Jacob, and why speakest thou, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now in verse 25, if we consider the context, and you and I have, and I'll leave that to you to do, but he makes the statement here in verse 25, to whom then will you liken me? And shall I be equal, saith the Lord? And if you study the context, he's been describing his greatness. He describes it in many ways. He says, the nations are before me as nothing, and they're less than nothing. Yeah. He's the creator, and he's the sustainer of all things. And he's dealing with that in those verses before. And then he comes here and he asks this verse. In the light of who I am, in the light of what I've done, he says, who then can you liken unto me? Do I have any equals? Well, the obvious answer is no. But he tells us this to get our minds thinking. You know, is there any like him? Well, no, there's not. And one of the ways that no one is like him is this power. This power. He is the Almighty. You remember in Genesis 17:1, where Abraham had been seeking the Lord, and the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, Abraham, I am the Almighty. Now that's the way he describes himself. I am not just mighty, but I am the Almighty. You know there can only be one Almighty. One Almighty. Just one. When you and I think about spirits, Most spirits, if we think about the human spirit, if we think about angelic spirits, there's something to be said about the power of spirits. Humanity, you and I we're spiritual beings, really. We have a body, we have a spirit. And you know the human spirit is really a powerful thing when you just consider it. I was reading some about David's mighty men. If you've ever read about some mighty men, read about David's men sometime. He had one fellow, his name was Adino, and he took a spear, is all he had in his hand was one spear, and he killed 800 men at once. Remember Samson? He took a jawbone of a jackass that had decayed and the old white jawbone land there, and he picked that jawbone up and he clave it to his hands and slew 1,000 Philistines. Now, can you imagine the power of a spirit? The spirit of a man? You know, if your spirit was cast down and you were discouraged, you couldn't do something like that. I remember I saw a documentary on the World War II, and when they bombed Pearl Harbor, Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, and they had one of their mighty generals, one of the greatest generals, tried to talk the emperor out of bombing Pearl Harbor. They said, America is a sleeping giant. Let her sleep. Let her sleep. Don't wake her up. And look what happened when Pearl Harbor was bombed. The spirit of this nation revived, and look what we did as a nation. The spirit of a man, even when it's seen in an individual or seen in a nation, it's a mighty thing, isn't it? It's a mighty thing. I also saw a documentary on World War II where Hitler was killing so many of the Jews. And one of the reasons he's able to do that, the documentary said they had lost their spirit to resist. And it showed them marching in to those gas chambers. Just had a few guards with rifles. They could have overcame those guards, but they didn't have the spirit. You could tell them they urinated on themselves, defecated on themselves, but they had no spirit to resist those guards. They marched in there and died. So the spirit can be a mighty thing in a man. It can be a mighty thing in angels. How often do we read about the power of angels? The Lord Jesus shall be revealed with His mighty angels. You remember one night, the Scripture says one angel, God sent one angel, and killed 180,000 Assyrians. 180,000 Syrian troops. That's a bunch of people in it. Angels are might. They're full of might. They're full of power. The holy angels or the fallen angels. Look what the devils can do. We've often said, look at the boils they afflicted Job. One, we're told in the gospel, they had a woman that was bowed down for 18 long years because the devil bowed her over. So there's some powerful spirits. If you consider humanity or you consider these spirits. But you know something? They're not to be compared to God Almighty. He's over. He rules the human spirits and He rules the angelic host. If it be the elect angels or if it be fallen angels, He rules. They're created powers. They have powers that was given to them, and you know most of it will only be temporary power. Most of the spirit of men will lose what power it has. And those fallen angels, they're going to lose that power someday. They won't have it when they're cast into the lake of fire. But listen to what Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 says of God's power. We read of His eternal power and Godhead. God is not a created being. He's a eternal sovereign God. His eternal power and Godhead. I want to begin with reading something Stephen Shonock wrote. I thought this was very good concerning the power of God. His eternal power. So He's not a created being as we are. His eternal power. And here's what Stephen Shonock said. The power of God is that ability and strength whereby He can bring to pass whatsoever He pleases. Whatsoever His infinite wisdom may direct, and whatsoever the infinite purity of His will may resolve. As holiness is the beauty of God's attributes, so power is that which gives life and action to all the perfections of His divine nature. Now listen to this. How vain would be His eternal counsels if power did not step in to execute them. Without power, His mercy would be feeble pity. His promises an empty sound, and His threatenings a mere scarecrow. God's power is like Himself. It's infinite. It's eternal. It's incomprehensible. It can neither be checked restrained nor frustrated by the creature. Now that's a pretty good definition of the power of God, isn't it? And listen to what John Gill said. The omnipotence of God may be argued from His independence. All creatures depend on Him, but He depends on none. There is no cause prior to Him. He's the first cause of all things. Nor any superior to Him or above Him, neither does any control Him. That's why we read in the Scriptures that He doeth according to His will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of this earth. And this is why David said, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He. Now how can He do that? How can He perform His will? How can He bring His counsels to pass? How can He do as He pleases, when He pleases, with whom He pleases? Because He's the Almighty. He's the Almighty. You know, we can't get to Him, can we? You know, if we got a controversy with Him, if we want to fuss with Him, if we want to argue our case, how do we get to Him to do that? And if we could get to Him to do that, how would we overcome Him? How would we out-argue Him? And if we could out-argue Him for the sake of argument, we still can't out-power Him. We can't overpower Him, can we? Why? Because He's the Almighty. What power we have has been given to us, and is temporary. But God's power is eternal. It's like Himself. He is indeed the Almighty. So the answer here to verse 25 is obvious, isn't it? To whom will You liken Me? Lord, there's nobody like You. Do I have an equal? No, You don't have an equal. You're God. You're God Almighty. And you know, it's not impotence. It's omnipotence. And how many in the religious circle today have got those two confused? Our forefathers used to look at the omnipotence of God. Now so often we hear about the impotence of God. That God is trying His best and can't. That people have His hands tied. Untie His hands and let Him have His way. Listen, this is the Almighty. Yeah. And you can't liken Him to us. He won't stoop to our level. He's not human. He's omnipotent. Who will You liken Me? Lord, there's none like You. There's none like You. Look what He says in verse 26. Now He goes on. He goes on here, and this is so important, and we'll get into this more next week. But He goes on here to reveal. He manifests His power, and He does it in creation. Now, there's two things that when we consider the attributes of God, and I've always been careful to do this in our studies of the attributes of God. We look at the attributes of God as they're found in Him. And then we look at them as they relate to us. I don't want a God that's afore all. I don't want a God that I can't relate to. I don't want a God that doesn't come near me and reveal Himself to me. When we talked about the holiness of God a couple of weeks ago, we related it to us. How does that affect me? Well, I tell you how that affects you and how it affects me. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. When we see Him high and lifted up, and the angels saying, holy, 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 how does that affect you? Woe is me. We get down, don't we? We get down at His throne, down at His feet, and we worship Him. And we see a need of a mediator to bring us into the God's holy presence. And it's the same way with His power. How does this affect me? How can I see this power? How can I know this God of power? Well, He tells us here. Look in verse 26. He hints at here what He states plainly in other places. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that brings out their hosts by number. He calls them all by names, by the greatness of His might. He's strong in power, not one faileth. He's the Creator. He's the Creator. by Him were all things created. That's said of the Son of God, who is God, isn't He? He created all things that's in the heavens, that's in the earth, things visible and things invisible. They may be thrones or dominions or principalities or power. He created all things. He created everything. And the Scripture, well, look over in Romans. Let me read this to you. Look in Romans chapter 1. So many places in the Scriptures you see creation. And it's said to be created by the power of God. And that's what we see when we lift up our eyes and see the planets. We see the stars and the sun, things around us. We see the power of God. It manifests the power of God. And look in Romans chapter 1 and look in verse 18 and 19 and 20. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth. They suppress the truth. They hold it down in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, in their hearts, their conscience. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made. What invisible things is He talking about? Even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What does men see? What do you see when you go out of a night, these beautiful nights? I went out on my back porch several times and just stood and looked up in the air. We have had some of the most beautiful, spectacular views the last month or so that I've ever seen. And you know what I think when I stand and look up into the universe, into the heaven? The mighty power of God.
Yes.
The eternal power of God. Men are without excuse if they don't bow down and acknowledge the Creator. Nobody else could have did that. And you know, it preaches to us. There's no language or voice where this creation's not preaching. It speaks every language. And you know what it says? Eternal power. Look at me. Who made me? Who created me? God. The power of God. And there's two or three wonderful and marvelous things when we talk about this creation. When you and I make something, the first thing we got to have is what? Material. Is it not? If you go to build a house, you got to run down to the hardware store. You got to run to the lumber yard. You got to have material, not God.
No.
Listen to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Where did all this come from? Out of nothing. Out of nothing. You say, Bruce, what about the little cell that exploded? Nothing. Nothing. What about the Big Bang? Nothing there to bang. Nothing. Where did it come from? In the beginning, there was nothing. Nothing. God doesn't need material, does He? You and I do. He's not like us. Well, how did He do it? Power. His eternal power. The second thing we need is tools, don't we? You got to have tools. Shannon, one time, Jenny, I tried to shoe a horse. I did with a rock. I didn't have a hammer, and poor horse, he was a mess when I got finished with. If you're going to do anything and do it right, you've got to have proper tools. You know what God used to create this world? He didn't have a tool in His hand, did He? Listen to this. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. By the Word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. That's Psalms 33:6-9. He had no tools like it. He spake it. And I tell you something else you and I need. If we're going to build something, we need time. and some of us a lot of time. You know, when the Lord spake, it was done. Let there be light, there was light. Let there be a firmament, there was a firmament. Let the sea bring forth its creatures, it came forth. He used 6 days to create this universe. But you know He did that just to fulfill His purpose. Yeah. It didn't take Him that long to do it. He could have done it all by just speaking, it all came in. He did it for us too, that we take time to stop. Each time God speaks, we take time and say, look at that. He spoke. And it was. He commanded. And there it is. There it is. Now, how can He do that, brothers and sisters? Power. He is the Almighty. And it's manifested. He could have been in heaven for all eternity, and He was. And no heaven. He don't need a heaven dwelling. He's been here all eternity, and I don't know what He did back in eternity. Maybe He did nothing. He didn't need anything to make Him complete. He was complete already. Didn't need anything to bring Him pleasure. He's the God of joy. If He hadn't have done anything, He would have still been the Almighty. But when He began to do something, that brings us into the picture. Then He says, here, I want to show you My power. Look. Look at My power. My eternal power. And My Godhead. But look back over in our text. Not only did He say, lift up your eyes on high. In Isaiah chapter 40, who hath created these things that brings out their host by number and so on? But look what He says again in verse 26. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might. He is strong in power, and because He's strong in power, look at this, not one faileth. He preserves everything that He's made. He not only brought all of these hosts, all the stars, the planets, those big fireballs up into heaven, they got that fire from Him. They got their life from Him. And He suffers some of them to burn out. I don't know if that's what Shanna saw the other day or something else. But the Lord suffers some of them to fall, doesn't He? But who upholds them? Why don't they all fall out of the sky? Why don't the sun go dark? What upholds these things? Those fireballs. Man, you and I can't get within a million miles of those things, can we? They'd burn us up. You know who upholds those fireballs? The Almighty. The Almighty. And not only those things, but we're told in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, that He upholds all things by the word of His power. All things by the word of His power. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Power. Power. Look at a couple of more scriptures with me. Over to your left. Look in Psalms chapter 36. Look in Psalms chapter 36. I could have wrote this down and quoted to you, but I want you to see three or four scriptures here. Psalms 36, and look in verse 6. Lift up your eyes on high. Who's created these things? Who upholds them? But He not only upholds those starry heavens. But look here what He upholds. Psalms 36, verse 6. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great depth. O Lord, Thou preserveth man and beast. He upholds all of you. He upholds me. Did you have any idea this morning when you got out of your bed who woke you up from your sleep? Who kept your heart beating during the night? Who kept your lungs pumping? Who gave you strength to get out of bed and dress yourself? Who gave you strength to go to work and work today? Who preserved you today? Think about this. The minute He moves His hand, you fall. You're gone. Every moment you move and live and have your being, it's this Almighty that preserves you. Can you imagine that? Can you get a hold of that? He preserveth man and the little fowls in the heaven. The mighty beast in the forest, He preserves them all. The little worm that rises up out of his hole and wiggles, He preserves the worms. He's the preserver. How does He do that? How do you preserve all these little creatures in the sea and in the swamps? Have you ever seen some of those documentaries where they show down in the rainforest little creatures that can't be numbered? There's so many. It looks to me like that it would keep God so busy He couldn't do it. But He does it. He does it. Look at this in Psalm 66 and verse 9. Look in Psalm 66 and verse 9. Look at this. This is amazing too. Psalm 66. Look at this. This is a wonderful thing. Think of this. Think of this, dear soul. Psalm 66 and verse 9. He said there in verse 8, "Oh, bless our God, you people, and make the voice of His praise to be heard." Why? "Which upholdeth our soul in life." He upholds our soul in life and suffers not our feet to be moved. I bet you ladies, some of you ladies have thought about this. We men don't think much about this. But isn't this a wonderful thing when you think about conception? When a baby, when a fetus is conceived in the womb. And I don't mean this in a derogatory way or anything. I sure don't want to make any of us sick. Can you imagine what the inside of a woman's womb looks like? I mean, there's no air there. You can't breathe in there. It's probably bloody, messy. Can you imagine a fetus being in there for 9 months? And living, not breathing, being fed by its mother. Ain't that an amazing thing? Who upholds that, y'all? Here's the awful thing about abortion. That's a lie. And God is upholding that lie, and somebody goes in there and kills it. God suffers them to do that. And someday they'll give an awful account of themselves if they don't seek the Lord for mercy and for grace and forgiveness. But who upholds that soul? He said right there, didn't he? He upholds our soul. Till you come to Christ and He washes your soul clean, who upholds that soul? When your soul is ready to perish, and we've got an account in the Gospels where one man said, remember this fellow said, "I've got many goods laid up for many years. Soul, just take it easy now." What did the Lord say to him? "You fool. Tonight, what will be required of you? Your soul. Your soul is going to be required of you." He preserves the soul in this life until it comes the appointed time when God says, "I want you to come up now, give account to me." Or He sends His angels and they bundle the soul up and bury it off into Christ's bosom there in heaven. But who upholds the soul? He does. He does. Look in Psalms 93, right quickly. I won't keep you too much longer. Look in Psalms 93. Look at this. I was reading this passage today because Terence sings this sometime to us. And I love this. Look what he says here in Psalms 93, beginning in verse 1. "The Lord reigneth." He reigneth. You believe that? Don't you rejoice in that? He reigns. What does He reign over? Everything. Everything? Does He really? We've proved that before, haven't we? Even the minutest of details, all the circumstances in this life. He reigneth. He must be almighty. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith He hath girded Himself. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. I like that, don't you? "Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up. O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves." Now, when you see those floods have lifted up their voice, He's talking about the nations of people. Remember the Lord Jesus said in the last day, people's hearts would be failing them. I had that wrote down somewhere. I wanted to read that to you. I don't know where it was at now. distress of nations, the sea and the waves roaring. Remember the Lord said that? The sea and the waves roaring. He wasn't talking about the literal sea. Nations of people. He said perplexities among the nations. Look at the nations today. Aren't they confused? And we know some bad times are coming, don't we? The Lord said men's hearts would be failing them for looking after the things that's coming on the world. Perplexity of nations. Perplexity. But notice what he says here in verse 4. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. He's mightier than these nations. He's mightier than these turmoils and confusion and perplexities, Glenn, that's coming. I tell you, that's going to be comforting to us. I don't know what I'm going to see before I leave this world. But I tell you what, our children is going to see some dreadful times. I just can't help but be convinced of it. Going to see some sad, dangerous times. And this scripture right here is going to be a comfort to some of them. The Lord is mightier than the nation. He can still the raging of the sea. One more thing, back over in our text. One more thing. Look in Isaiah chapter 40 one more time. And here's one of the things we'll get off in next week. In some detail. But look in Isaiah chapter 40. Look in 27, verse 28. Isaiah chapter 40. Look in verse 27 and verse 28. Why saith thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, He fainteth not. He doesn't grow weak. He doesn't lose heart. He doesn't faint. Now look at this. Neither is weary. He don't even get discouraged. He never gets weary with upholding all these little creatures and mighty stars and planets. Have you ever hold something up for somebody? And after about 10 seconds, you start saying, man, you better hurry. You better hurry. And here he is upholding everything. Is he weary?
No.
Is he saying, man, I can't do this much longer? Is he about to faint? No. Why? Eternal power. His power can't be diminished. It can't be used up. It can't wax old. It can't be depleted. He is almighty today as he ever has been. Yes. And he'll be as almighty tomorrow as he is today. He's the eternal I am. I do not change. Oh, what a glorious God this is. I worship him, don't you? Yes. Don't you just love to bow before such a God and worship him? The more you find out about it, the more you love it. The more you want to worship it. And look what he says in verse 29. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, He increases strength. That's an amazing thing. He gives His power. This is where the mediator comes in. This is what we're going to look at next week. More about the Lord Jesus, the mediator. God has put His power into the care of the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ gives this power to His people, some more, some less, as He perceives they need it. Now, one more scripture, and I want to show you that, then we'll close with this scripture. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is one of the reasons I like to study about the attributes of God, to see how they come near to us. And it's an amazing thing when we start talking about this eternal power, the mighty power of God working in us. Haven't we read that in the book of Ephesians? That you might know the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. His power to usward who believe. According to the working of His mighty power. You can't believe apart from the same power that created this universe. Somebody said, just believe. Well, just believe. Just believe. You can't do it. Not apart from this power. Can you? You can't repent, not apart from this power. Christ is exalted to give repentance. Can't come except this mighty power draw you. It worketh in us. And look here what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look in verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure, that was given to me through the abundance of revelation. Boy, the Lord opened his heart, didn't he? Showed him spiritual things, even caught him up into heaven. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. What was that thorn? A messenger of Satan. What did it do? It buffeted him, tormented him, whipped him. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Kept him humble, kept him down. And for this thing, because of this thorn, I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Ain't that the same power that created the universe? It is. I have power to lay down my life. I've got power to take it up again. And now here Paul says, that power rests upon me. Ain't that amazing? Verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I'm strong. What made him strong? This power. This power. Got in his heart. In his spirit. If you want to read it, turn back over to my text or I'll read it for you. Listen to this. Verse 30. Here's what he said in the light of that. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Where do they get this strength? From Christ. The power of Christ may rest upon me. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And they shall run and they won't be weary. Ain't that amazing? We just read somebody else wasn't weary. I don't faint and I'm not weary. And when I give you my power, when my power is upon you, when I strengthen you, you ain't going to be weary. How can you sink if His power upholds you? You can't, can you? You can't. I think a man can't sink any lower than these everlasting arms that get underneath him. That's the lowest you're going to go. And when you get there, you'll feel that power. And you'll say, Lord, let me suffer. That's all right. Let me suffer. Because now I'm strong. You're going to mount up with wings as eagles. And you're going to run and not be weary. You shall walk and not faint. Oh, the power of God. The power of God. It's amazing.